Pretty nice view on that live from Tucson.com, new feature that we've introduced here at KVOI. Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with Ed Alexander. I got to tell you, I've lived in Tucson, 27 and a half years. Last night's series of storms and wind will be in the top three of the weather events that I have lived through in this town. Yes, we've had microbursts. They last about, 5 minutes. This went on and on, uprooting a huge Palo Verde on our property. And I am not alone. All of my Facebook friends checking in, they've got damage driving by Fort Lowell Park on the way to the station today. The big iconic statue there that is Fort Lowell. There's a huge tree next to it, and now a huge limb from that tree was felled during that storm last night. That was really, really a big-time storm here in Tucson. We're going to begin with our monthly visit with Dr. Victoria Mazes. We're not going to be talking about the weather. We're going to talk about your health. She's our contributor on health issues. Then we'll talk politics with Tucson City Councilman Paul Cunningham. You can join in the conversation anytime at 790-2040. And the Facebook page is Bill Buckmaster. Dr. Victoria Mazes is the executive director of the University of Arizona Center based at the U of A, the Center for Integrative Medicine. She is a professor of medicine, family medicine, and public health. Dr. Mazes is internationally recognized as a leader in integrative medicine and is committed to health promotion and pioneering change efforts that solve America's healthcare system problems. She's the editor of the Oxford University textbook, Women's Integrative Health, and the author of Be Fruitful, The Essential Guide to Maximizing Fertility and Giving Birth to a Healthy Child. You can learn more about her on her website, Victoria Mazes, MAIZESMD.com, and follow her on Twitter at VMazes. Dr. Mazes, on our live line, how are you today?
I'm doing well, thank you.
I said I wasn't going to talk about the weather, but it was really a big-time storm. I don't know if you had any damage on your property, but it was amazing.
It was quite a huge storm, and luckily I didn't have any serious damage, no, just a few little branches here and there.
Well, you are lucky. I want to call your attention to a New York Times article. I think it was in a couple of days ago, August 10th. The title of the piece was Labels Like Alternative Medicine Don't Matter, The Science Does. And the author, Aaron Carroll, says maybe it's time to reframe this debate between alternative and traditional medicine. What do you say to that?
Well, I work closely with Dr. Andrew Weil, the founder and director of the Center for Integrative Medicine at the University of Arizona, and he has always said that the success of integrative medicine will be when we drop the word integrative and this is just good medicine. So I agree with many of the points that Dr. Carroll made in the New York Times article about needing to look for evidence and being open to changing your mind when the evidence is contrary to a belief that you hold dear.
Yeah, and Mr. Carroll writes that this so-called complementary therapies, they're not really complementary if they've been proven to be successful. They just should be considered therapies.
Exactly. So it's this point of getting back to there should be one medicine, we should look for a high standard of evidence. In the article, he points to a dietary supplement called butterbur. Butterbur has a very long history of being used for both migraines and also allergy treatment. It has anti-inflammatory properties. It can help your blood vessels dilate. It can relax your smooth muscles. Well, the American Academy of Neurology and the American Headache Society both strongly recommend it for migraine prophylaxis. It's got level A evidence, which is the highest evidence that you could have. So there's an example of an herb that is not widely known about by physicians because physicians aren't typically taught herbal medicine, and yet the evidence for it is excellent. It's safer than many of the medications that we use, and so it really ought to be incorporated into good medicine.
Well, I have used it myself, butterbur, for migraine headaches. Had been a migraine sufferer all my life. Luckily, knock on wood, have not had any issues with it lately. But I can give you a testimonial and our listeners that butterbur certainly worked for me. And I'll tell you another one. And this one is mentioned also by Aaron Carroll in that New York Times article, and I take this every day, horse chestnut seed extract, because I have had in one leg varicose veins all my life.
Yes, so he also does point to horse chestnut, which also has really quite good evidence showing that it can help with, as you say, varicose veins and other circulatory issues in the legs. I've used it myself. It appears to be both safe and effective for what we call chronic venous insufficiency. Mm-hmm. And he lists a number of other things that really reach that standard of evidence. Now, he's pointing to dietary supplements, to herbal products. Many people use these in the United States. We have wide access to them. That is a good thing. He also points to some of the things that are a bit harder to research. For example, acupuncture. The gold standard for research is often considered the randomized controlled trial. In that kind of study, you'll divide people randomly into two groups, and one will get the intervention, and the other will get a placebo or a sham treatment. Well, it's easy to make up a placebo pill that looks and smells and seems comparable to the real medicine. It's pretty hard to make up a placebo acupuncture treatment. And people try to do it. They try to do it in a variety of ways. For example, one strategy is to actually insert acupuncture needles, but at the wrong points. People then say, well, you're still, affecting the meridians and the energy body, and they don't always accept that that's a non-active treatment. Sometimes people say, well, instead of inserting the needle, we'll just tap the guidepost, and if you've never had acupuncture, maybe you wouldn't necessarily appreciate the difference between a needle being inserted versus the guidepost just being held to the point. But people then will say, yes, but you're still stimulating that point. So it's not always so straightforward to do the research. Think about meditation or yoga. What would be appropriate placebos for those treatments? So he makes some good points when you're talking about supplements, but I would have to say that there is some oversimplification in that some of these other therapies are going to be harder to study.
Yeah, and I will point out again, when it comes to acupuncture, I'm in the middle of, I've had six treatments so far for tennis elbow, and I will tell you, it has dramatically helped the situation with tennis elbow. But anyway, it sounds almost like Mr. Carroll called me before this for the New York Times. Anyway, we've got a couple of callers who want to talk with Dr. Victoria Mazes. John is up first. Hi, John. Go ahead. You're with Dr. Mazes.
Yes. Thank you very much for taking my phone call. I apologize if this question has already been addressed while I was on the phone trying to get on, but last week, Dr. Woolsey, in his segment, made a statement that basically nutritional supplements have no efficacy other than what can be attributed to in terms of the placebo effect. And my understanding is that there have been thousands of articles published in peer-reviewed articles on PubMed, for example, that say the opposite. So I was just curious what Dr. Mays' opinion was on the efficacy of nutritional supplements.
Thank you, John. Go ahead, Dr. Mazes.
Yes, so thank you for asking that question. Indeed, before you got on, we were talking about some of the dietary supplements that have very high-level evidence. One was butterbur, which has been shown by the American Academy of Neurology and the American Headache Society to have A-level evidence. So that's the strongest possible evidence. It reduces the likelihood of a migraine by 60% compared to baseline. Magnesium is another dietary supplement that has very strong evidence, for example, in migraine prevention. There are dietary supplements that we use to prevent birth defects in children, like folic acid, that everybody agrees, the American Academy of Family Physicians, the American College of Obstetrics and Gynecology, the American Academy of Pediatrics. So there are certainly evidence for a very high level of evidence for some, but not all dietary supplements. And I think the kind of sweeping statement that there's no efficacy above placebo is usually a sign that someone hasn't carefully looked at the research.
Okay, Philip is up next. Hello, Philip. You're with Dr. Victoria Mazes.
Yes, let me just start by saying truth is the enemy of big pharma. I had 11 recluse spider bites, which makes circular necrotosis things on your skin, very painful.
Wow.
And a woman gave me, she applied to one of them, a thing called dragon's blood, which is an herbal extract, and it the skin sloughed off and became perfectly normal again.
Wow.
So herbs do work. They're not just, psychosomatic. They can work.
Okay. Thank you, Philip, for your testimonial.
Yes, and you know, you had the opportunity to do a little study on yourself because you mentioned you had 11 bites.
Wow.
And so you could have decided to put the dragon's blood on 5 of those, and on 6, either left them with nothing or maybe used antibiotic ointment or some other kind of salve, and then you could have seen which ones did better. And indeed, it is often important for us to look carefully at the research for each of the various products. There are certainly products that have been looked at and where they have found over time not to be effective and were things that therefore we should really be dropping and no longer recommending. And that's the point that Dr. Carroll made in the New York Times, is that, you know, we need to study these things and then we need to include in good medicine the things for which there is evidence, and we need to exclude the things that have been proven to be ineffective.
All right. Very good start to the Buckmaster Show. Very good segment. We're going to take a break here. Dr. Mazes will stick around. If you'd like to join in the conversation, 790-2040. We'll be right back.
In southern Arizona, if you don't have termites yet, you will. Five Star Termite and Pest Control treats what the termites are after, your home. Don't treat the dirt, earth, ground, or soil. Foam the home. Call Five Star at 886-0045. Subterranean termites? Bad. Five Star Termite and Pest Control? Good. Soil treatments? Silly. Patented foaming treatment process? Smart. Homeowner who wants effective termite treatment? Contacts Five Star at 886-0045 and fivestartermite.com.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antique, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Hello?
Hey, honey. Just packing and getting ready for my flight home.
Great! You didn't forget about Adam's soccer game, did you?
Hey, it's his last game of the season. I wouldn't miss it for the world.
But you land at 4. How can you be there by 5?
No problem. I'm flying into Tucson. I parked right by the terminal, and the soccer field is only 10 minutes from the airport.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Hi, this is Sean McCluskey, co-owner and designated broker for Rincon Ventures. If you're a rental owner by choice or by accident, and you're looking to hire or change property management companies, consider Rincon Ventures. We employ an aggressive web-based advertising strategy to market your rental. We thoroughly screen prospective tenants and conduct routine property inspections. Our online system gives tenants the ability to pay rent and file maintenance requests instantly over the web. Our owners can use the same system to instantly check on their properties. Call Rincon Ventures at 881-2258 or visit us on the web at rvprop.com.
Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary works to end the senseless abuse of horses and burros so these noble creatures can live free of pain and suffering. Its ranch in Amado is home to dozens of rescued equines who receive special care as they await new, loving homes. Won't you help? Visit equinevoices.org. Equine Voices, a voice for all equines who cannot speak for themselves.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Join us Thursday at noon for a newsmaker interview with Pima County Supervisor Allie Miller. Plus, six things you learned in school, but your kids never will. Buckmaster, noon to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice, with anywhere in the world live streaming podcasts and our show archive on my website, buckmastershow.com. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, or it is exactly 12:21, our midweek edition this Wednesday afternoon. We have Dr. Victoria Mazes, the Executive Director for the University of Arizona-based Center for Integrative Medicine, with us on our live line. Dr. Mazes, our medical contributor to this program, and we're talking about a New York Times article about, quote, alternative medicine. This article from Dr. Aaron Carroll, very interesting, and there's been quite a bit of response on the live line, including from Mike, who would like to ask Dr. Mazes a question. Hi, Mike. Go ahead.
Oh, thanks for taking my call. I've had trouble with arthritis in my knees. I'm 57 years old. I've worked a lot on my feet for the last 45 years. And my wife and I saw something in a magazine about putting rosemary extract and olive oil together and then rubbing your knees, warming, and then in the evening before you go to bed. And I started about 3 weeks ago. I didn't have any rosemary extract, but we had the real plant, so we just chopped it up and put it in there. And I bet you 80% of the pain is gone. I jogged for the first time yesterday in probably 10 years. I ride my bike 7 miles in the morning, and I've worked the last 13 days anywhere from 10 to 15 hours on my feet, and my knee, I think they would have felt even better had I not worked that many days in a row, but I just cannot believe how much better they feel.
Wow. Interesting stuff. Dr. Mazes.
Well, thank you for sharing that story. A couple of things. One is I'm not aware of a study using rosemary and olive oil. Having said that, they both have anti-inflammatory properties. And so we know that things can be absorbed through the skin into the body. And actually, we probably underutilize topical medicines, especially when there's like a particular area that hurts, your knees. You gave us an example. Why take something by mouth that gets into the bloodstream and is circulated through the whole body when really you need a local effect on the knees? And that's what a topical preparation can give you. Besides the rosemary and olive oil that you mentioned, one of the dietary supplements that's also been well-researched, and not every study has been positive, but there have been some large studies that show indeed that it is helpful for arthritis of the knees, and that is glucosamine plus chondroitin.
Mm-hmm.
It can help with arthritis, and actually there's some evidence to suggest that it actually can help build some cartilage. Another well-studied
dietary supplement that can help with arthritis is SAMI, which is an acronym for S-adenosyl methionine, and that is helpful for arthritis and actually also is something that's used for depression. So it gives you two bangs for the buck if that's an issue that you have. So, you know, those are other examples of well-researched dietary supplements that have been shown to be effective for treating particular problems.
Okay. Thank you, Mike, for sharing your experience. Karen would like to speak with Dr. Mazes. Hello, Karen. Go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
I had a history of alcohol abuse, and I found that it was self-medicating because of long-term trauma.
Mm-hmm.
Now I am, I went the pharmaceutical route, and the panic attacks are so powerful that I've actually had to have emergency technicians come out. And it's just a panic attack. But so, regrettably, I started drinking again because that does manage the panic attacks. Mm. It feels like my heart's going to explode.
Wow.
And now I'm swelling up rapidly, and my feet are swollen. I think perhaps there's liver damage. I was wondering if there's anything
okay.
I could do to take care of this, both issues.
Okay, thank you, Karen. And
well, Karen, I'm so sorry to hear of your struggling. You know, indeed, one of the reasons people do turn to alcohol is to help with anxiety, and it sadly can work well and lead to alcoholism, like the example you gave in your own personal history. I don't think, though, that over the phone on the radio is a good way for us to give you particular recommendations, but I sincerely hope that you'll get some help. Most likely the person to help would be a mental health professional in your particular situation.
Yes, thank you very much, Karen. We hope you get help as quickly as possible. There was also a very interesting article in the New York Times about Coca-Cola. Coca-Cola scientists who work for, well, they're scientists who are on the Coca-Cola payroll, they are fighting back over this whole thing about obesity and sugary drinks. What's the bottom line there, Dr. Mazes?
Well, I don't know whether you had noticed, but recently there's been some data that shows that soda consumption is down by about 25% in the United States. This is wonderful. This means that the public health messages that drinking sugary beverages, sodas, have no nutritional value and contribute to obesity. So seeing the decline in soda consumption, especially in young people, is just a huge public health triumph. But obviously it's not good for Coca-Cola's bottom line. And so they, in an effort, I think, to address this backlash against soda, they are investing in research to show how important exercise is. And, you know, I agree. I think exercise is really important, and I certainly recommend exercise to everybody who comes into my clinical practice or anybody who, you know, I meet with or give a talk, you know. Absolutely. Who would argue that exercise is valuable? Having said that, you know, it is, I think, dishonest to make the case that exercise is the answer as opposed to perhaps eliminating soda entirely or having it be a special occasion treat as opposed to something that people drink, you know, many, many, many ounces of a day.
And, of course, just exercising is not necessarily going to lose you weight.
Right. So there's a lot of research, actually, that shows you really can't exercise your way out of being overweight. And people sometimes don't appreciate how much you actually have to move. You know, this article about the Coca-Cola, I think that they point to lose, you know, the equivalent of one Coke, you would have to walk for 3 miles.
So it's not that people shouldn't move, and walking 3 miles a day is great and something we'd all advocate, but it's just not going to address these absolutely vacant calories. We're in the midst of an obesity epidemic as a country, and we really do need people to appreciate that soda just doesn't belong in the diet.
Well, Dr. Mazes, we're going to have to wrap it up with you. Ed has pulled up your website here on my screen in front of me. Very nice. It's victoriamazesmd.com, and I say very nice because it looks like it's loaded with helpful information, correct?
Yes, it is. Thank you for pointing your listeners to that.
All right, Dr. Mazes, and if folks would like to learn about those articles that we were talking to, they're readily available. If you do a Google search about alternative medicine, New York Times, the first one we referred to was Dr. Aaron Carroll's article that was published on August 10th. And the other one we were talking about was the Coca-Cola article, and that was August 9th in the New York Times. Dr. Mazes, thank you very much. A very good session, good half hour today. Thanks.
My pleasure. Thanks good care.
Dr. Victoria Mazes joining us once a month here on The Buckmaster Show. We're going to be talking politics, from health to politics, and talking about the city of Tucson with Tucson City Councilman Paul Cunningham. That's coming up next on The Halfway Point, at The Halfway Point of Buckmaster. Be right back.
American Openings is pleased to be a sponsor of Good News Radio Broadcasting, featuring local news and information on AM 1030 KVOI, the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ on KGMS 940 AM, positive and encouraging music on 88.1 FM K-Love, and pop classics on KCEE 690 AM. American Openings is a locally owned door and window manufacturer, concerned about our community and proud to be a partner with Good News Radio to help make our community a better place.
Attending Pima Community College means success for you and your family at less than a quarter the cost of trade schools or four-year universities. Partnering with business leaders, Pima creates programs tailored to help you succeed in today's high-demand jobs and offers two-year associate degrees that transfer to universities nationwide. Whether your goal is a new career or transferring to a four-year college, Pima Community College can help you succeed. Call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting the stories missed by the mainstream media. Our sources bring you regional, national, and international news from a different perspective. Opinion from Emil Franzi, Phil Richardson, and other top national columnists. Plus, Eric Peters with auto reviews, Bob Garver on movies, Rebecca Guthrie on books, a section on Western heritage, and sports coverage, too. It's a cross-section of information found nowhere else. SOAZNewsX.com. Published Mondays and Thursdays. Subscriptions are free at SOAZNewsX.com.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. Pedestrian projects funded by the Regional Transportation Authority are now under construction at Treat Avenue and Broadway Boulevard and Craycroft Road in Fort Lowell Park. The crosswalk improvements provide added pedestrian safety. More than 37 high-intensity activated crosswalks have been funded by the RTA to date. We're improving safety and regional mobility for you. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. Viro Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Viro Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Viro Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. It's exactly 12:34 on this midweek edition. With us on the live line here on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice, where we're live streaming at kvoi.com and buckmastershow.com, is Paul Cunningham, Tucson City Councilman. Mr. Cunningham, how are you today?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Good. Are you back at school?
I am back at school.
How's it going?
It's going really well. We're my last class is clearing out right now, so I can do the interview, but the schedule's off by about 2 minutes, so I'm kind of using hand signals and ushering kids out as I'm on the phone here. But
all right,
we'll be in the clear in about 1 minute.
Good. We appreciate you making some time for us. The Tucson City Council, you and your council colleagues, will be deciding on whether or not to renew the contract with the company that handles the red light cameras here in Tucson, and I think that's coming up next week, that renewal. How will you be voting on that?
Well, the devils are in the details, but the bottom line is I'd like to end the contract with minimal costs. I don't want to pay penalties. I don't want to have to pay some assumed penalty we have to pay or some assumed repayment of their capital investment. I don't want to pay those type of fees to them. So the biggest thing we have to do is figure out how to avoid that. And the only way we can avoid that is by saying, well, we're going to leave it up to the voters. Look, if the voters vote it down, if the voters vote the red light cameras down, then you get nothing. And if the voters don't vote the red light cameras down, then we'll give you some type of contract so that we don't get penalized. But that's how I look at the negotiating piece. I'm apt to just say, regardless of whether or not the vote goes down or not, I'd like to discontinue their contract and put it out to rebid. If the voters say yes, we'll put it. If the voters say yes to red light cameras, we'll put it out to rebid and to check out other companies because we have the opportunity to do so. If the voters say no, we just end the contract. I mean, I'd like to just see it end kind of painlessly and get over it.
Well, it's interesting that that will be on the ballot in the city of Tucson, along with the two ballot questions. That one of them, I believe, is pertaining to raises, right, for the council?
Yeah. Again, this is one of those things where that commission by law has to meet and make recommendations. They put raises for us on the ballot. Again, we have enough financial issues right now to be worrying about raises.
And then there's the charter issue. So when people – I don't know if there's been any – study on this, but when people start just saying no on these questions, they may just say no to everything. You know what I'm saying?
Right. I mean, it's kind of one of those, you worry that it's going to be a poison pill. I don't think there's going to be a big campaign to say yes on that proposition. At the same time, I don't know if there's going to be a big campaign to say no on that proposition. It's just going to kind of be there. It's kind of like the lost soul on the ballot when you consider all the bond questions. You consider the charter changes on there, and then tucked in the back is this very modest raise. You know, this, I think it's $3,000, $3,500. I can't even remember how much it is. It constitutes, I think, about 10 or 15%. But as you know, city council people are paid $24,000 a year. The mayor of the 34th largest municipality in this country is paid $42,000 a year. And so those are pretty low. Those are lower than average. But again, if you're doing my job to get rich, you're in the wrong business. So
yeah.
I'm not gonna. It's fine if the voters, if the people spoke and kind of read the ballot and go, wow, is that all they make? And if a surprise happens, great. I'm not going to say no, but you know, I'm not going to be out there campaigning for it.
Paul Cunningham with us on the Buckmaster Show. Mr. Cunningham and his colleagues, Rahina Romero and Shirley Scott, are standing for re-election in the fall. And you'd have to not notice the billboards in town. If you've been out driving, you've seen these billboards that basically, Mr. Cunningham, blame you and your colleagues for a city that is not living up to the expectations of so many.
Well, so each one, there's four of them. One of them they attacked, it's about downtown.
Right.
And my answer is, are you serious? Have you seen downtown? We have $1 billion worth of investment into downtown. Another one attacked us about public safety. Well, the crime rate's gone down for 10 years. One of us attacked us about being poor. We had record job numbers for this fiscal year. So for me, and then the other one attacked us about roads. I get more complaints about construction on roads than potholes right now. We just finished our first public meeting last night for Camino Seco, and from Camino Seco to Houghton on Broadway, which is probably the worst stretch of road in my ward. And we're 18 months ahead on that RTA project. So for me, I look at that and just say, well, you know, if this is the type of politics that, you know, this is the type of campaign they're going to run where they're just going to do insult politics, then what do you want? What do you expect? What kind of leadership are you going to expect? So, you know, I'm not going to get into that debate. I'm going to let the facts speak for themselves. But the bottom line is that we are a city that's experiencing some good times right now, and I'm proud of what we accomplished.
Well, there was a survey that did point to Tucson being, second best for actually, if you're single and looking to save money, they say here in this survey, you may want to consider moving to Reno, Nevada or Tucson, Arizona. It was a study conducted by Go Banking Rates, and they looked at 89 major cities in the United States, and they find Tucson to be one of the most affordable cities in the country for single people to live.
Well, the biggest thing about that is that when you talk about those surveys with the different groups, there's 10, you know, there's a top 10 for this and a top 10 for that. when we were on the top 10 worst lists all the time, I used to say, hey, not so fast. That's not really, you know, that's not really true. And I agree on the same thing is that when you're in the top 10 lists on other ones, you know, you can say, hey, great for us, but at the same time, you have to take it with a grain of salt. I mean, it's just as these top 10 lists where they compare, they take data that isn't supposed to be compared with other data, and they try to manipulate it. It isn't, to me, probably the best way to look how you measure up. You got to look at raw data, raw metrics, and figure out, okay, what's your, you know, what is your unemployment rate? What is your total employment rate? What is your what is your commercial occupancy rate, medium household, a medium home value like? Because those are like really hard, you know, hard data numbers, and you usually have to do it within a municipality that's similar to Tucson's, that shares kind of the same population size, same landmass area, and same metropolitan area size. So, you know, we have a municipality which has 500,000 people, making us like the 34th or something. 32nd largest actual municipality, but in metropolitan areas, we're actually only in the top 50. So we're kind of unique in that sense. The cities that are most like us are like Tulsa, Fresno, Honolulu. Those are the cities the most like us. And you compare, you do your best to try to get a good. Omaha's on there. I think Raleigh, North Carolina's on there. Some of them have bigger economy sizes or median incomes, but some of them don't have, you know, the same home occupancy rate, or they have a higher rate of they have a higher air pollution rate, or whatever. There's all kinds of different metrics you can look at. The bottom line is the one I like to look at. It kind of is the be-all, end-all is livability and the livability index. And when I first came into office, we were never in the Forbes livable cities. And I think we've been in the top 100 the last few years. And that's like worldwide. So we've done pretty well moving up that list. And so I'm proud of that. But, again, you see these surveys and stuff. And the bottom line is when we took office a few years ago, the roads were embarrassment. Downtown was a half-finished mess. We still had that Rio Nuevo kind of stench hanging out over us because we just hadn't figured it all out yet. You know, we had, I think, all-time low job numbers in 2012, and these were things that were awful. They were just a blow to the head. We just lost spring training. It was fresh off our minds. And so one by one, you go through and you try to rectify them. What are we going to do with spring training? Well, we're going to move baseball to back to High Corbett with the a partnership with the U of A, and we're going to see if Major League Soccer can build a hub here. And we did that. What are we going to do with downtown? We're going to actually finish the streetcar and stop talking about it. We're going to get right with Rio Nuevo, and we're going to pass a GPLET and another 16 incentives so that we can have some investment down there. And we did that. What are we going to do about the roads? We're going to put a bond on the ballot. Let people know how important it is. Let people know how it happened that we got in this place, and let them know that there's no way we can catch up unless we get some money to start these capital improvements. And we did that. And sure enough, we also passed another six or seven different programs that allowed businesses to operate so that we could see some of those commercial occupancy rates go up and we could see people getting their C of O. We passed a C of O ordinance where it happened about 45 days past, and it's half done.
Okay.
I mean, we still probably need to have a review and some hard deadlines for inspections and especially in commercial properties as far as putting people to work. But we went a long way, and that's why we have these really good job employment numbers this year. So I think we're doing all right.
I think Roger here on the live line wants to talk about those job numbers. Go ahead, Roger.
Yeah. How you doing, Paul?
Hey, Roger.
My question for you is, you did say that according to Forbes, we had an increase in jobs numbers. But then right before that, you denied that Tucson is one of the worst cities in the nation for finding a new job, which is also a Forbes poll that listed Tucson in the bottom cities in the United States as far as trying to locate a job.
But okay, Roger, I want to answer the question because I don't want to go into more. So the deal is that Roger, I'm talking specifically about the Livable Cities Index, specifically about the Livable Cities and not all the different other lists that are out there. So Forbes may have a toughest place to find a job, and we may very well be on this list. And for Forbes' argument, probably rightly so. But what I'm telling you is one, we have gone up on the livability list over the last 4 years, which I think is a good thing. And the other thing I think, if you go to the Bureau of Labor Statistics and you check out, you know, the month-to-month listing of the total number of people punching paychecks in Tucson, you'll notice that 2015 and the end of 2014 have been very, very good to us. So that's kind of, I stand by my statement, and I understand where you're coming from, but I'm just letting you know.
My question on punching a paycheck, though, is how much is the pay? I mean, people can have a job, but if you made $65,000 back in 2006, and you're now making $38,000, you still have a job. Yes, you do. And who's Tucson livable for? The retirees?
All right, so our GDP, if you're talking about our GDP, I think we hit $40 billion for the first time this year. I got to check that. I want to make sure I'm accurate, but I'm pretty sure we've experienced 1% to 2% growth. You've seen that in our sales tax revenues each year. It's slower growth than you'd want, but it's definitely growth. So I can't. And you can also look at median income or per capita income, and get those figures, and you'll see that it's either flat or higher. So
okay.
I reject that notion that everybody's making less money, Roger.
All right, we're going to have to take a break here. We're going to ask Councilman Cunningham to stick around for another break on the Buckmaster Show. We'll be right back.
Hello?
Hey, honey. Just packing and getting ready for my flight home.
Great! You didn't forget about Adam's soccer game, did you?
Hey, it's his last game of the season. I wouldn't miss it for the world.
But you land at 4. How can you be there by 5?
No problem. I'm flying into Tucson. I parked right by the terminal, and the soccer field is only 10 minutes from the airport.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Hi. Wouldn't you like a voice like mine talking about your business? Saying things like, thank you for calling, or press 1 for hours and directions. Well, it can. Cox Business offers Voice Manager, allowing you to get a professional voice to record your voicemail greeting. And with my voice, you'll need to warn whoever manages your lead gen data because your customer base is about to expand. If you don't like my voice...
There's always mine.
Thank you for calling. All our customers are important to us. How do you like that?
I think mine might be more appropriate.
You don't know that.
I can do fancy accents.
As good as this.
Make a great impression before you answer the phone. Cox Business Internet and Voice Manager is only $99 per month. Plus, get your first month free. Bundle and save today. Visit coxbusiness.com. Ends 8/30/15. Includes Cox Business Internet 10 and Voice Manager Essential. Excludes taxes and fees. Visit coxbusiness.com for details. Actual speeds vary. Other restrictions apply.
Attending Pima Community College means success for you and your family at less than a quarter the cost of trade schools or four-year universities. Partnering with business leaders, Pima creates programs tailored to help you succeed in today's high-demand jobs and offers two-year associate degrees that transfer to universities nationwide. Whether your goal is a new career or transferring to a four-year college, Pima Community College can help you succeed. Call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
The Regional Transportation Authority is delivering on its promises with more than 660 completed transportation improvements, pedestrian and bicycle safety upgrades, new sidewalks and bike lanes, as well as roadway transit and traffic signal technology improvements are helping people and goods move across our region. The RTA and its member jurisdictions are working together to offer you more options. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. There is so much to do over in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. It's just 3 hours east of Tucson. You can hike along the Continental Divide Trail, go birding along the Gila River, fish at Lake Roberts, visit historic Pinos Altos, or check out the world-class collection of Mimbres pottery at Western New Mexico University in historic Silver City. And there are plenty of great places to stay, including Agave Ridge Retreat. To find out more about Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico, visit Southwest New Mexico, that's spelled out, .org. Welcome back now to the Buckmaster Show and Tucson City Councilman Paul Cunningham. What is the latest with this hotel we're hearing about that the council has pretty much agreed to move forward on a tax incentive deal for a new hotel near the University of Arizona?
That's the it's a residence inn. It's a long-term stay for, you know, visiting professors on sabbatical and their families. It's been a long-needed feature for that area. And the tax incentive pencils out actually much higher than it needs to. There's a $200,000 cap on the incentives that the developer's getting. So it's actually a really good deal, and the amount of sales tax and people being put to work is just a bonus. So it'll be another great cog in the wheel for the extended downtown, the university area, and the streetcar route that I'm proud to say has really burgeoned in the last few years, and I voted for it. I thought it was a great deal.
Are we losing police and fire in this community? Are we losing people that are in that profession?
No more than other communities. Remember, right now it's actually the tale of two first responder groups. Fire's doing really well. We just got a grant to put another $8.3 million of federal money that's going to give us another 54 firefighters. We won't see any closures of stations or engine units shut down this year. The perceived morale problems that we have between the two departments is much lower in fire. And to credit fire, that's a good thing. Nothing's ever perfect, but at the same time, you could do a lot worse than work for Tucson Fire. I mean, we've got a great group of people working there. We've got some great firefighters. We've got a great cadre. The issue with police is we've got a great group of police officers working for us. We've got some people that are long-termers that, 15, 16, 17 years. The biggest problem is that we can't fill the slots fast enough. We have a whole bunch of people retiring at once. Our turnover with people leaving to chase money in other jurisdictions isn't as high as people would think it is. It's about the same as in all jurisdictions. But I think there's some issues that aren't any meat. Like, there isn't one single command decision that happened in the last 30 years that has gotten us to this point. But our biggest challenge right now is that our patrol people are backed up call to call to call every night. They have no time for kind of being able to do a little extra or kind of being able to be visibility patrol, or it's a status that's known on the radio as 10-8, where you're kind of on standby. You're not just en route to another call. And from what I'm understanding and talking to some of our line officers is that 10, 15, 20 years ago even, the best job was in patrol. You could make a little more money in court and overtime. It was a great job to have. And you'd be 10-8 for part of your shift, and you could do some extra community work and police work, and it was a good deal. And over the years, patrol has become the roughest duty. Well, I got news for you. Patrol is probably one of the more important duties we have. Patrol is the duty that is the first contact between incidents and between the police and the community. Patrol are the backbone of what a police department does, and patrol are our eyes and ears. And so we have to get back into the situation where we shore up our numbers in patrol, and that's, I think, probably going to be the biggest challenge for our incoming police chief.
Is it a safe city?
Yes, we're safe. I mean, again, like I said, the crime rate's gone down in the last 10 years. I mean, the violent crime, the murder rate goes up and down, and then but it hovers between 30 and 50 homicides a year. Your aggravated assaults, forcible rapes, burglary—they all kind of go up, they go down, they go up, they go down. But we have this pretty good uniformed statistic, and the overall trend over the years is down. Vehicle theft is down; just it goes down every single year. And burglaries there was a spike 1 year, but overall, over the last 7 years, they've gone down. So again, it's really hard for me to hear that type of thing where we're, the study that was cited on that was a study that used uniform code statistics, UCR statistics from the FBI, and the FBI has a disclaimer on their website that says don't use this data to compare with other cities because there's so many different factors. So anyway, I can stand by what the data says, and that is that, as I said, the crime rate's gone down, and we do need to shore up patrol. I'd like to see our response times to community members go up and make patrol a very desirable duty again, and I think that's important for the next chief.
I mentioned at the top of the show I've lived in town here 27 and a half years. I would put last night's storm and the wind situation is one of the top three storms in Tucson since I've been here. Would you agree with that?
Well, our fire people had a busy night, and that's how we know. That's how I know. That's how I can judge it. Is I talk to our fire people. Every time there's a big thing like this, they had a big busy night, and I don't think we had any major incidents. I haven't heard if there was anybody hospitalized or anything, or we had a big accident or a car caught in any of the washes yet. Cross my fingers, knocking on wood as I say that. But
yeah.
Again, we're getting better as a community in understanding what Tucson's weather is all about. We have very unique weather, like all places. I guess they could say they have weather unique to them. But I guess it's just a habit of being here for my whole life. But it's just one of those things that you get used to these storms. I've seen, as far as the lightning went, it was pretty spectacular. And
It was the wind.
The wind was heavy. Yeah.
We had I would guess we had an 80-mile-an-hour wind gust up at our place. And you might want to have the parks and rec people get over to Fort Lowell Park coming into work today. There's some very, very big limbs down over at Fort Lowell.
No, I called them this morning. I actually run that park every morning. I live over the
Yeah,
so
there's some big
I
ones.
I called that one in this morning. The big one is that all those palm tree fronds got blown onto the streets. So that was my other big concern.
Anyway, I got to run. Paul Cunningham, thank you very much. We'll let you get back to work there at school, and hope you have a great afternoon.
Bill, thanks for having me. Have a great day, Tucson.
Thanks a lot. Paul Cunningham with us on the Buckmaster Show. For Tucson at 4 with Mike Shaw is coming up later today as we continue our panorama of local talk here on KVOI. We've got 3 hours of local talk, soon to be four in November, but we've got Wake Up Tucson, Chris and Joe, 6 to 8, The Daily Double, Christy Simone, and a guest host every day. And then The Prager Show, and then me, Bill Buckmaster. I'll be back with you. Already Thursday edition coming up tomorrow. Ed Alexander and myself wishing you a great afternoon and evening.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at KVOI.com.